Last one here, Billy writes in. So Bleacher Report has this trade deadline cheat sheet, and honestly, I think it's pretty helpful. Go check that out. But what's really interesting is that the trade proposal. Move on from Deadman, Duncan. Duncan gets a fresh start. Jovic gets moved to a team that's going to play him more. Miami gets a shooter and a decent power forward. Here's the trade idea. The Heat receive Eric Gordon and KJ Martin. In return, the Rockets get Dwayne Dedmon, Jovic, Duncan Robinson, and a 2023 first-round pick with top eight protections, and then some, and then it conveys into second-rounders later on, if it doesn't convey. What do you think?
I don't like the deal, and yet I think this is the most likely deal to get done for Miami. It's unfortunate, but this is part of how it works, right? There's a background between the two front offices. Riles and Andy Ellisberg have worked together with Rafael Stone of the Rockets before. They finished a deal to the Victor Oladipo deal. So there's an existing history there. It kind of fits into the Houston timeline. They can convince themselves that you're taking on a player like Duncan because, you know, he brings championship level experience. You know, he's been to the NBA finals. He started there. He's a proven veteran, a more stabilizing role player there. For a guy like Gordon, we've talked about this so much during the trade deadline. This is the perfect MO. This is the type of player that they've always tried to pursue, a veteran towards the end of his career or like somewhere in the middle of his career, not quite out of his peak perhaps, but towards the end, trying to win a championship, trying to make an impact immediately, brings necessary three-point shooting. Yes. And at the same time, you can get a young player in KJ Martin who's raw, but can take another level and fits a position of need. It makes so much sense. And at the same time, I don't like the trade. And yet I think it's one that's likely to happen. It just feels like this is the kind of deal that Miami would explore fully.
I would be very surprised if the Heat made a trade like this.
Why? What's your hesitancy on this?
It's not necessarily my hesitancy, even though I don't love it either, like you. Eric Gordon does fit a need. He's a bona fide three-point shooter with 30-foot range, right? Like, that guy can make shots. And somebody – and whatever you think of Eric Gordon in Houston, you put him on a winning team with a chance to get to the playoffs.
He's going to kill it here.
Yeah, I mean
– he's going to kill it here. That's the thing.
Somebody free Eric Gordon. I feel so bad for him, whether it's in Miami or elsewhere. Somebody get him out of Houston. Kenny Martin Jr. Please. Has been a hot name among Heat fans. There was some report earlier in the year. I don't really remember who it was or how legitimate it was, and I apologize for that. But there was some sort of report connecting Kenny Martin Jr. and the Heat at the beginning of the year. Heat fans went wild about it. This is the perfect player. I wouldn't go so far. He's an okay player. I don't know that I'd trade a first-round pick for him, but you're not. You're trading a first-round pick potentially in this hypothetical scenario for Eric Gordon and Kenny Martin Jr. So that's that. Whatever. I would be very surprised if Miami did this because it would say two things. First of all, the Heat have been very reluctant to trade any of their first round picks because they want to keep as many of them as possible to try to make a superstar move. So if they do make a deal like this, it says two things to me. It says, number one, they don't think that they're going to be able to trade for a superstar by the time by July, basically, of the 2023 draft. And two, that they think that this team is way closer than what its record looks like it is to competing in the East. Like, this is the kind of deal you make if you've got a chance to come out of the Eastern Conference. Eric Gordon is going to go to a contender if he gets moved, right? And as much as we want the Miami Heat to be contenders, I would be very surprised if the front office in a sober moment was like, yeah, we're one Eric Gordon away from competing in the Eastern Conference.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay,
I think they're a little higher on this roster than Heat fans and you, it seems, are in general.
We'll get to that. But like, if they were higher on this roster, they didn't make this move in the offseason, right? There were moves to be made like this in the offseason. You could have had Eric Gordon in the offseason for a first round pick. Like, you didn't do it then because you didn't think that you were there yet. And I would be surprised to learn, if this were so, that based on what we have just seen over the first 50 games, that the Heat are believe in this team more than they did at the beginning of the year. I haven't seen anything besides a 500 team this entire year. This team just lost to Charlotte. I would be surprised if the Heat were like, after these 50 games that we just saw, they're like, oh yeah, we're closer than we thought we were in October.
I just, You know, I don't know that there's a superstar move to be had. And I don't think that necessarily puts you out of this, but you're committing, at the very least, you're committing to three players on the roster, Tyler, Bam, and Jimmy. Now, Tyler's contract eventually can be moved. So if there is that deal to be had next season or beyond, then Tyler is that name that you could include in that deal. Also, Kyle and his expiring contract next season, which when they will keep him this year, they were not going to trade him at the deadline. That's my prediction. Having said that, I think you can look to trade him next year, possibly. And you try to improve this roster and get some goodwill, continue to build and hope for what this team has done in the past, which is play well, play smart, do things the right way. And if you'll get lucky breaks and you capitalize on those breaks. And next thing you know, you could go on another long playoff run like they did last year. I don't know. Again, I said this in a recent podcast. I don't know that there's any team in the East that is so overpowering. And look, Milwaukee's fantastic and they're not at full strength. They're getting there. They're a move to be made. It looks like they're probably this close to getting Jay Crowder. Is that the one that's going to put them over the top? I don't think so. Philadelphia's been playing on a tear lately.
Yeah.
Boston's really good.
I don't think Eric Gordon makes you even on that level, though. Like I'm with you. I'm not against moving the first round pick. And you make a really good point. Like you could trade these things later. Like, but if you're gonna move a first round pick, I think the player coming back would have to have some outgoing value potentially too. And I just don't see Eric Gordon as having outgoing value.
How much longer does he have on his deal?
I think it's another year or two after this, but like he's older and he hasn't been moved for a long time anyway. Like he doesn't have that much outgoing value in terms of, all right, if we're going to package him and Tyler Hero, for example, that could bring us back a huge upgrade. Like, I don't think if you put hypothetically, yeah. You know, my stance on Tyler Hero is don't trade him unless it's for like a top right. player. Like I love Tyler Hero, but if you were to put Eric Gordon and Tyler Hero together, are you getting Tyler Hero plus 10%? Like you're not getting that much better of a player. But if you were to, for instance, trade a first-round pick for John Collins, who is very young, under contract, with a lot of upside, and very talented physically and all these other things, that to me is you could trade a first-round pick for John Collins and then turn around a year from now and trade John Collins and probably get something about looking similar and the same in value, especially since we're looking at John Collins right now as a distressed asset, given all that's going on in Atlanta right now and the fact that he's been marginalized there in terms of his role on offense. You could bring in a guy like that, and it doesn't have to be John Collins, but it has to be something similar to that. Somebody who's young, whose value you could still get higher, as opposed to Eric Gordon. Like, his value is here. Tomorrow, it's going to be a little bit less. Like, that's just where Eric Gordon is in his career right now. And so,
what if unloading Duncan's contract is viewed as worth the sacrifice of the first round pick?
I can entertain that, but in this instance, that doesn't make any sense because Eric Gordon is still under contract next year, so you're not gaining any cap space. You're not.
No, that's fair. But 2 years, you're saving 2 years of Duncan's contract.
No, I mean, look, I would be surprised, but that's not like you're not worried about cap space 2 years from now at the trade deadline. You try to figure that kind of stuff out in the summers.
Who would be more impactful for this playoff stretch? Eric Gordon or Duncan Robinson, the version of him that we saw earlier.
Eric Gordon would be more impactful. These two players would be more impactful than the players going out. There's no question about that.
I think you could also look at perhaps maybe that they've soured on Jovic. I mean, again, it's probably too early and I'm not reporting anything at all. It's a possibility, you know, that maybe it's not worth the long-term investment on a player like that. I don't know. I think
the Jovic injury is a bummer because we didn't get a chance to actually see any development. He played just one game in the G League and that was going to be where he really was going to have a chance to get some reps in there and stuff. I've been on this the entire group. People were like, start Nikola Jovic. I was like, I don't know. I'm not there yet. He's a rookie. You got to be patient with these guys. I never thought that Jovic was like off the table, right? Like every player can get moved. There's a price for every player.
Absolutely.
I don't know that I would do but I still don't know that I would punt on Nikola Jovic's upside and a first round pick to get Eric Gordon and Kenyon Martin. Like that, I don't know. It just doesn't move the needle enough for me. And I get it. Like, you're like, what else is going to be out there and whatever? And I'm like, you know what? If this is all that's out there, I'd rather just not do anything. This to me is a move to make a move. I don't know that it really seemed that much.
That's fair. I'm just also, you know, like you just said, the mystery box of the draft and the potential of a superstar finally saying, yeah, I want to get done with Miami. It's not in the player's hands. I'm sure 90% of the league would want to play in Miami if they had the opportunity to do so, but maybe you got to worry about the 29 out of the champs. Well, I guess that's a possibility too.
I have no idea. I have no reporting on that, and I haven't read anything on it, so I have no idea if that's a thing. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks again for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. David, thanks for joining me.
You got it, Wes.